There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. This week, I have another guest who reached out to me online to be part of the Ethical Evolution. Through our conversation, it became evident that it's clear when organisations focus on their people rather than tasks, results will always follow. Adam Sinkus is a business coach who takes his expertise to show small businesses how they can use processes and people to scale up. By helping leadership to focus on its people, Adam ensures not only collective change, but also a change in culture for good. Welcome, Adam, to the Ethical Evolution.
I'm excited to be here. It's been a wonderful Friday so far, and I'm happy to get this, add this to the list of things I got done today.
Yeah. Now, you're coming to us from the United States. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're down near Florida somewhere, am I right?
I am, yes. I'm in the wonderful Sunshine State, Southwest Florida, near Fort Myers. You know, we are the vacation capital of the Southeast.
Nice. So I'm coming to you from the future. It's Saturday morning here in Brisbane, in Australia. So, Adam, tell us all about you, your background, and what you do.
Yeah, so I am a culture-driven leadership trainer and consultant. The short of it is this. I focus on how we drive culture in organizations to really drive the performance of the organization. Instead of being so focused on the numbers, we take a shift in mindset and go, how do we focus on people to be better as an organization? And so that's what I do now. I've come to that from a lot of years of working under poor leadership, struggling management, the quote unquote bosses that, are all shout behind my desk, do what I say, and just get it done. I don't care how or how long it takes you. And so, over the years, I just got really frustrated with that kind of world. And so, it came to me like there's got to be a better way. And over the last 10 years or so, I've been figuring out those better ways. And so now, I'm all in engaged on helping companies overcome that kind of mindset within their company so that they can really focus on the people in their organization and drive forward.
Yeah. And do you largely focus on big corporates?
So I work in a lot of different spaces, right? So I also do small business consulting as well, which I have a huge passion for because I think, those are the people that are really engaged in the day-to-day of their business. They're the ones that, the stake for them is so high. And so when you watch them succeed, it's absolutely amazing to just watch them become champions of their business. But I also, from a leadership perspective, I do work with the bigger organizations because really what I find is once you get to about three or four levels of leadership in an organization, that's when that breakdown really starts to occur.
Yeah.
It's like the age-old game of telephone, right? This is what the high-end leadership, the executive team is saying our culture should be. And by the time we tell that message three or four times, it's completely different when we get to the people that are actually, living in that world, so to speak.
Yeah. And that's actually a really good observation you've made, is that the more levels or hierarchy there are, the less, the more messy it is, basically. And I know from my experience, when you've got a more flat structure to things, or less levels, everybody gets on a lot better and is communicating a lot better, I found.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, again, I think it goes back to, you know, the childhood game of telephone, right?
Yeah.
Here's the message. And by the time we get, you know, five or six people through that message that have all interpreted it a slightly different way, the actual message that's being delivered, it tends to be a bit different. You know, and that's one thing I like working with smaller organizations with, is how do they set themselves up to scale in that space as well. So it's not just the big organizations that struggle with it. It's the small organizations that also struggle with that balance of how do I start creating those levels of leadership and really build, you know, that same kind of entrepreneurial culture that they typically have.
And it's one of those things you want to get right from the start, don't you? Because, you know, it's hard to fix once you've gone so far.
Yeah, no, culture, you know, is really at the foundation of everything we do in business. Those companies that are succeeding in culture are also succeeding in business.
Mm.
And so when you lay that clear foundation from the start and live that and build it consistently, it does impact things like your customer retention, your employer retention, your profitability. Everything that you do in your business leverages on having people that are engaged, that want to come to work, that are challenged, that are in it to win every day.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, from my experience, I found when I focus on the people and not the tasks, I get far, far better results, and we communicate better. We have better relationships. We trust each other more. We support each other more. And it just works better when you focus on the person in front of you.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, when I work with an organization, one of the foundational things that we talk about, and I ask the question almost every time is, you know, when was the last time you said thank you to every person on your team? And very rarely do I get, oh, yeah, I did that today or I did that yesterday. Usually it's, well, I think I've done it over the last week or so, you know, and so that shift in, you know, when you talk about communication, right, you know, we have to start with positive communication and building that trust and that foundation in our communication. And so, you know, I go back to that foundational, you know, say thank you. Say, I appreciate your work today. I appreciate your effort today. I appreciate that you got this done in a hurry for me today. I know I laid it on you last minute. All those little things build up to when you do have to have those more critical conversations because maybe performance slips, whatever is going on, you know, it makes those conversations so much easier because you already have this really good open stream communication.
Yeah. I call it building a trust bank. So every time you do that, you're putting a deposit in the trust bank, and when you've got a call on it, it's always there. So, and it goes both ways. I think it's a great thing.
I love that. I might have to steal that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll let you use that. now, tell us, what is your mission in the coaching that you do with people? What do you want to achieve?
Yeah, biggest thing I want to achieve is I want to achieve this shift in mindset that business has to be all about numbers. Because when we start driving from the numbers, we start, you know, cracking the proverbial whip. And so what happens is over time, when you just drive numbers, people become less engaged. They become, you know, they're looking for better opportunities. And honestly, when I'm not engaged in my work, that better opportunity doesn't have to be that much better for me to go take and jump that, right? And so I want to see organizations that are 100% engaged in their people to build their organization. And so, you know, I talk a lot to leaders about the cost of actually hiring somebody. You know, so for a role in the United States, that's about, we'll say a $50,000 to $60,000 a year role.
Yep.
It costs on average about $7,500 just to bring that person in the door. By the time you figure in recruiting costs and all the people hours for training and all that kind of stuff that goes into that, you know, that's a lot of money to have somebody stay with the company 90 days, 6 months. You know, that's almost it's really, it's more than 10% of their annual salary, right? Yeah. So, you know, my mindset with that is, let's get out of this, well, we can just hire somebody else.
Mm.
And let's focus on who we have here and make them all stars.
Yeah.
Because we're going to save money, we're going to save people, and we're really going to build an organization that watches people grow and succeed within it.
Great. Now, can you tell us about some of the businesses that you've helped and the impact it's had?
Yeah. So, you know, I've worked with businesses in a lot of different verticals, but, you know, the call center industry is where I've spent the most time. And one of the things that I did with one of the call centers I worked in, and unfortunately, you know, I can't go into too much detail on the particulars, but, you know, we came in and started looking at the average attrition for the call center. When was it occurring? How much attrition was happening, you know, over the course of every month, and how many people they had hired in a year. And it's not uncommon that you actually hire about 3 times more people in a call center than you absolutely should.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it really is the nature of the industry. But what we focused on with them is really diving into the training or that first 90 days with an employee and making them really feel, you know, sort of speak the warm and fuzzies, the mm-hmm. love, right?
Yeah.
So we started with, you know, reinventing the HR presentation. How do we make this feel more like welcome to the company instead of here's all our policies and procedures and don't screw up? Then we got into the training and we started diving into the effectiveness of the trainers and going, as a trainer, where are you being effective? Where are you not being effective? So that we could reduce the amount of attrition out of training. And we taught those trainers then how to effectively portray messages to a different audience than, you know, than they were traditionally approaching it. So, you know, looking at, you know, we dove down into looking at backgrounds of people, you know, going where are they coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a company out of Detroit, Michigan, and you know, so not too far outside of the city of Detroit, which has a lot of lower income families in it, right?
Yeah.
And that was a big piece of the people that they were bringing in. So we started looking at, you know, I started looking at the trainer corps, and I go, well, you guys are all like middle class, you know, suburb people. Like you totally don't understand their life.
Mm.
Right. So we started diving down into what is it like to live in downtown Detroit on $25,000 or $30,000 a year? And what does that life really look like? So we can put them in their shoes and dive into that people first approach again. Right.
Mm.
So how do we tell the message that makes sense to them? From there, we looked at the well, like most call centers, you go through a series of a couple weeks, a week to 2 weeks, sometimes a little bit longer, of a classroom style training. And then you go out and usually spend about a week or two in what they call on the job training or nesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at their on the job training period and we looked at how was that being supported. So what we found is we got training really successful and they were pushing out a lot of people that were excited to be successful and felt excited, and then they get into this on-the-job training area, and the love would kind of run away.
Mm.
And so then they didn't feel supported. And so you'd see over the course of 2 weeks, they'd start exactly where we wanted them to be, and then they wouldn't progress as fast as they should have, as fast as we knew they could.
Yeah.
And so we started looking at how was the area being supported, how was leadership. You have floor walkers or subject matter experts that are kind of wandering around answering questions so that they're not, you know, always having to, you know, put a customer on hold and go to a supervisor. You know, it just makes it a little bit easier for them to kind of get in the swing of things. And so what we found is that they weren't getting enough support in that space. So we built out an actual program to walk through that. And then, you know, really the last piece of this was, once they got through all of those training pieces, how were our supervisors supporting them through the rest of that 90-day period. And what we found is there's a big drop-off in communication from that, what they were used to the when they officially came out on the floor as part of the operations team. And so, you know, that was really our next piece, was building that communication path early on in those first 90 days to help them be successful.
And what kind of results came out of that?
So we saw 90-day attrition drop significantly. We saw almost a 14% drop in 90-day attrition. We also saw that as a result of that, we saw some profitability. We saw about a 4% increase in profitability because we weren't having to turn and burn and hire so many people in that lost period. We actually had broke it down that it took 72 days to break even on bringing somebody into the into the organization. So, you know, so once we started keeping people that long, well, now we start to become profitable on those people. And so we saw an increase in profits there as well. And then the biggest thing is we started to see an increase in the culture of the organization as well.
Yeah.
Because now we had this clear path of communication and people were excited. Even after that 90 days, they're like, they set me up to be successful. I'm excited to be successful.
And then that just spreads to the people who hadn't been through the process, right?
It does, yes. So we looked at year-over-year culture, the employee engagement surveys that most companies do. We looked at year-over-year for about 5 years, 4 years prior, and then they did one about 2 months after the engagement was over, and they saw actually like a 12% increase in their overall culture score for that site. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's positivity breeds positivity. Yeah. That's what I try and tell people. Yeah. You know, when we're positive and excited about things, it's hard for that not to be contagious.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a virus. It just spreads, isn't it?
It's a good virus.
Yes, a good virus. So what was your biggest challenge in that particular scenario, and how did you overcome it?
Biggest challenge in that one and all of them is the mindset shift, is getting the senior level directors and executives that are so driven by the numbers of the organization. You know, at the end of the day, they want to see profits and revenue. And however that gets done. And so it's shifting their mindset to understand that if you take care of the people, the profits and revenue will fix themselves. And so, you know, it's hard to quantify people in numbers because we're so individual. And so you have to, that for me is always the biggest challenge when I go into these is really talking about how we have to stop talking about the numbers for absolutely everything and start talking about the people that create the numbers.
Yeah. And that can be difficult with management that are so focused on a really tight bottom line.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always. Numbers drive business. I mean, you have to be able to measure it. And I totally understand that, but there's other ways to measure it without, you know, driving home that everything has to do with a number.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, in the work that you do, can you define what being ethical means to you?
So being ethical is really about, in my mind, it's about putting the right thing and the right people in place to lead an organization or a group of people down the right path that are going to 100% of the time make decisions that are truly in the best interest of the people involved with them. I get so frustrated when organizations make decisions about cutbacks and things like that, and they're not thinking, and they go, well, you know, training is a cost, and we're over heavy in HR, and they're a cost, you know. And we don't think about the decision or the impact of what that does to the culture of the organization and how not having those pieces in play really plays into the overall success of the organization. So for me, being ethical is about making decisions that are people first.
Yeah, Yeah, totally. And that's a really great answer, because I ask everybody that question and yours is so different to everyone, obviously, because of your background. So what are the future plans for what you're doing and what you want to achieve?
Yeah, so future plans is this year at some point in time, I'm going to get my book finished. It's founded on my ACES leadership model that I developed last year, which is all about acknowledge, cultivate, empower, and strengthen your team. So it's the four critical pieces to building a successful team that's culture driven. So that's on the cusp of this year. I just need to hammer out the writing and sit down and make a plan and get it done. But, that's going to happen this year. Podcasts and being on podcasts and recording some video content myself on the other side of the microphone is on the play this year as well. And just growing business.
Yeah.
So wherever it takes me, it's an adventure. So I take all these as all this is an opportunity to grow and expand and find a new audience and see what else is out there in the world.
So are you most of your clients just locally within, your state's area, or do you go outside the states?
So I have not done any engagements outside of the states, though that may be changing. I don't know yet. Still early on in that, but, I am willing to work worldwide. Technology obviously makes that a lot easier these days. But primarily my customer base is in the United States. From a big business, I'll work all over the United States, even into Canada as well.
Yeah.
But the small business stuff, I do tend to keep that a little more local, because I want to keep my services in reach for small businesses. And when you start having to pay for travel and hotel and all that stuff, that stuff adds up quickly. So, if I can keep it at an hourly rate or project costs without all kinds of extra travel, it makes it a lot more attainable for the small business segment.
Yeah. I think there's a definite global opportunity there for you, given that, the principles apply globally when it comes to business. So, aside from, things like local tax and currency and all that kind of stuff, I think, there's a definite global opportunity there.
Yeah, that's the goal. Eventually I'd like to be, the next Simon Sinek.
I knew Adam when, yeah.
I am shooting for a TED Talk either this year or early next year as well. That's on the list of goals to accomplish in the near future. So, and more speaking engagements as well. And again, worldwide is, I can get up in front of any crowd of people and talk. My wife will tell you, I talk too much. So.
Oh, look out, guys. Adam Sink is going to be worldwide. Now, I've got to ask you this one. How can we get involved in what you do and find out about what you do?
Yeah. So, getting involved, the best way is find me on LinkedIn. I am all over LinkedIn. I put all kinds of great stuff out there pretty much every day. I am on there, responding to messages, posting content, finding all kinds of crazy, awesome content that's out there. That is by far probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. Otherwise, email, is another great way to get a hold of me. And that's adam.sinkus@me.com. That's the easiest way to get involved. I do typically work with, medium to large size industry or medium to large size businesses, in the leadership and culture space, but, any organization that has at least three levels of leadership, there's a significant opportunity for breakdown. So, if you think that fits within your organization, come find me on LinkedIn, send me an email. I love to talk and talk about the opportunity about how I can help you and how I can build that culture in your organization.
And have you got a website, Adam?
I do not have a website yet. It is my pet project. I decided that I'm going to learn how to code WordPress this year. So, so I'm going to build myself a website this year.
Right.
But I want to do it on my own because it seems like a fun project.
All right. Well, I know Ethical Change Agency might be able to help you with that. So let me know if you need a hand. Now, what's the change you'd like to see in the world and how can we bring it to life?
So the biggest change I'd like to see in the world is that we are focused on people, focused on making people smile, focused on seeing people grow, focused on seeing change driven by individuals. And so, how do we support that? We start with the foundations. Saying things like thank you and I appreciate what you're doing and then building from there and taking the mindset that there's always things to give. It doesn't take much effort. Podcasts are a great example, right? So this is an hour out of my day that I have an opportunity to just give information that can help people become successful. And so, for me, that's a very small price to pay to see the opportunity for somebody to grow and exceed their expectations. So,
excellent.
Give.
Yes.
Just give.
I love that. And I'm hoping, Adam, that this hour is the best hour of your day.
It is the best hour of my day. We're just about to dinner time here, so,
Well, I won't hold you up anymore, but I have to thank you for being a part of the Ethical Evolution, and I really love the work that you're doing, and I think, if we can start at the large-scale companies and actually break down those things that actually make people want to leave and actually make them succeed, that is going to have a ripple effect. Thank you so much for the work you do and being a part of the Ethical Evolution.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.